Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Maddon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
So hello and welcome to Hopefully Not Unlucky episode 113 of the Glovers Cast. This is Dave and I'm the lone amigo of the three voices you usually hear. Ben's off taking his positivity down to South Somerset, whereas Ian's decamped to a different part of the West Country for a few days away with the family. So it's left to me to talk to you all about a 2-0 defeat at league leaders Grimsby Town on Saturday, which to my eternal shame, I didn't make that local trip. From my northern outpost here to Blundell Park, and instead I gave a good friend of mine the best birthday gift that I could, missing a northern away game to attend her 40th birthday. But don't worry, this isn't going to be me just chatting to myself for an hour, as I decided to invite a couple of people who were actually there. So firstly, welcome back to the Glovers Cast, I think for the second time, Sheridan Robbins.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Am I right? Is this your second appearance?
It is second appearance, yeah.
Fantastic. And another voice alongside her is her co-commentator from yesterday's match on BBC Somerset and the voice of Yeovil's lockdown. He's not Lawson Diaf, but he is Marcus Duncombe. Welcome back, Marcus.
Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't live up to Lawson's fantastic co-commentary, but I think the BBC are probably happy with that.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, it is nice to hear your voices because I did try several times yesterday afternoon to try and hear them. I think there was a bit of a technical glitch with the internet side, but you were on the FM frequency, I think, so you weren't talking to yourselves.
No. So we were getting all those sort of messages that people couldn't hear us and the panic sets in, but everything was going fine radio wise. I'm told it was a problem in Manchester, so we shouldn't blame the people in Bristol. So
there you go. Those in the north. can't be living with them. Well, I guess in that case, as I didn't hear, I have to ask this question first of all, Sheridan. How much did Marcus swear on air? Was it as much as Lawson or not quite as much?
You know what? Marcus said to me, any ground rules? And one ground rule was don't swear.
Don't swear.
He passed that test, yes. So, much appreciated by the BBC and myself. And I know everyone loved Lawson, but Marcus was a wonderful co-commentator.
I did feel guilty stepping into his shoes because, I mean, I, for one, enjoyed his co-commentary last Tuesday. But it was good fun to go up to Grimsby as well, tick off a new ground.
Oh, okay. See, never been. I was going to say, I was trying to work out how it could be good fun to go to Grimsby, especially as you're on the train. It's a bit of a trek, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it was a bit of a trek. I mean, I left at 7:15 from London, got back at 10:45. It was a long old day, but I was going to say worth it, but If the result was slightly different, then maybe.
yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into talking about the game, and I'm going to leave this to you guys because you were there and I wasn't. But I was listening. I listened to the guys on Three Valleys yesterday, I mean, it didn't sound like a terrible performance from the commentary that I was listening to, but just looking at some of the statistics that Ben, obviously the statistician amongst us all, has sent across. So looking here, one shot on target, which I think was Dale Gorman's 85th minute free kick, four off target, seven corners to their one, and I don't quite know how this website gets dangerous attacks, but it has us having 67 dangerous attacks to their 51 and 53% of the possession. I mean, statistics, you know, there's lies, damn lies in the statistics, isn't there? But it didn't sound that bad. And I actually read a couple of Grimsby fans on the on social media saying, you did all right, except for going forward. But we still lost the game 2-0, so... So go on, Sheridan. I'll start off with you. What does that all mean?
Yeah. I'm not surprised by those statistics, to be honest. And I probably wouldn't have been surprised if that's how the game went before the match. Spoke to BBC Radio Humberside. They were asking sort of what to expect. And I said, I imagine we'll play some nice football. We'll try and attack going forward. But we're really struggling to score goals. And that was the story of the afternoon. It was really frustrating. I think it has improved from the past few home games where we only had one shot on target, but we really didn't put any pressure inside the box, whereas we did against Grimsby. We really frustrated them, particularly at 1-0. You could feel their fans getting restless that Yeovil Town were dominating in possession, which is something that Darren said that probably we shouldn't expect this season, but we have started to have a little bit more possession. But the most worrying thing was, where was that goal going to come from? And Marcus and I said it numerous times on commentary, where's the equaliser coming from? And I think all the players know that that's their issue at the moment, and I know Darren knows that that's the biggest problem. But they're a very good side. They're a very good side. There's a reason they're top of the league and not dropped a point at home, which is seriously impressive, but I think we caused them more problems than many of the teams that have visited Blundell Park this season. But as you say, the same thing happened and we've lost the game, which is really frustrating.
Yeah. Marcus, to say, listening to it, it sounded like there was lots going forward. I heard on several occasions, Dan Moss seemed to be in the game quite a lot. Jordan Barnett was doing his usual thing and bombing forward. So it seemed like the opportunities were being created, but it just sort of did it just go to pieces. The old jigsaw effect, was it go to pieces in the box?
Yeah, it was just sort of that final ball, and I don't really know if any of the players knew how they were gonna do that, because we had Quigley in there who was getting into the positions, but as you say, our first shot on target was in the 85th minute, and we had a lot of the ball. We had a lot of set pieces that we didn't really do much with until late on in the game. We played fine with the ball, apart from in that final third. It was incredibly frustrating. Like, it really probably should have been a 0-0, because the two goals, they, along with us not creating anything, Grimsby, we limited them really, really well, actually. And their two goals obviously came from a penalty, which was a sort of moment of madness from Grant Smith. And then in the 90th minute, when we were going for it and Max Hunt was up front. So it could have very easily been 0-0. And I'm really concerned about where on earth our goals are going to come from, to be honest, because we never, never looked like scoring at all.
Yeah. And they had, John Lewis, Lennell John Lewis up front. He sounded like he had he obviously scored with the penalty, didn't he? But he sounded from the commentary I heard that he had a couple of chances that maybe another striker might have put away. I mean, if it was someone other than him up front, could it have been more, or was 2-0 fair, do you think?
There definitely should have been a one for John Lewis. It's one of the worst misses I've ever seen.
3 yards out or something.
Everyone in our stand thought it had gone in.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. That their fans were celebrating, behind us were celebrating. All the commentary had said he'd scored. And somehow it went just wide. He played well, but that was a shocking miss. But that felt like that could have been a key moment. And I think Yeovil probably could have got the equaliser from there. You know, they've missed that chance. That's a huge chance. 7,000 fans are frustrated that he's just missed from 3 yards. That was our opportunity and we just couldn't quite get it.
No, the goal alert flashed up on my phone and then a minute later came up with a correction saying, no, it's definitely still 1-0. So
yeah. It was one of the worst misses I've ever seen. And right. That was more as Yeovil was sort of going for it as well. I think that was quite late on in maybe the 78th minute or something. And in the first half particularly, there were no chances. Of, you know, I want to know what a dangerous attack is now, because saying there were over 100 in that game is generous, I think.
Yeah. Well, the website that Ben's given me has got the look of his bookmaker's employer. So I'm guessing he might have to have a look there and see what counts as a dangerous attack. Because, yeah, no, it didn't sound like a lot. But, I mean, Sheridan, obviously you were there in midweek. At Weymouth, I think seven of those players played the full 120 plus penalties. I mean, did that start to tell? Did they start to tire? I think Jordan Barnett said to you when you talked to him afterwards that, you know, it was sapping, but was that a problem?
I actually don't think it was. I mean, I was extremely surprised that there were no changes. You know, we were talking before the match, weren't we, Marcus, about who would come in, who would potentially change, particularly in midfield. We thought Tom Knowles might start just because they played that 120 minutes. I thought that side was going to be changed because Darren does make changes quite often. So super surprised, as you say, seven of them played 120 minutes, but credit to them. They did not look tired. I don't know if it's just spoken to a friend who's a Weymouth fan. They looked very tired, but of course we won that game. So perhaps you've got that little bit more momentum to bring you forward. Darren didn't make substitutions until late. But I wouldn't say that they looked particularly tired. So maybe that's why he didn't make that decision. There were a few mistakes creeping in, but from both sides, and Grimsby were making some mistakes, and they'd made 5 changes for their FA Cup match, which they breezed past 5-0. So I was very impressed, actually. And of course, we've got a game Tuesday and Saturday at 7 and 8.
It doesn't stop, does it? It doesn't stop.
It does not stop. And so, you know, potentially that, you know, we've got the sports scientists is that their recovery seems to be much better, particularly even from last season. So I was very impressed. And yeah, Jordan Barnett, he did look tired and obviously he came off, but he was very impressive again. There was a lot of running going forward. And I know Darren spoke to me after Weymouth saying Matt Worthington potentially was really fatigued, but I thought he was excellent. Again, he was getting forward. I think he's becoming a bit more of a key player. So potentially, you know, in the last 20 minutes or so, it might have had an impact, but very impressive with the fitness side of things. I didn't think they showed their tiredness. I don't know if you agree, Marcus.
Yeah, no, I do actually. I was quite concerned when he named the same 11, because we had options on the bench as well with Knowles and Yusuf, who I expected, to be honest, to come in. But they didn't look tired at all. It wasn't, I mean, Grimsby pressed incredibly well. I remember in the first 10 minutes, I was a bit blown away at Grimsby's quality. Like, they looked like a League Two side, to be honest, with the players they've got and how energetic. They didn't give the Yeovil players any time on the ball. So I thought that was really going to affect us. But it didn't really, to be honest. And we kept the ball quite well. Gorman in particular, I was impressed with, apart from his shooting antics and in the final third. He kept the ball and broke up play really nicely. He was almost playing in that Charlie Lee role from last season. But yeah, we didn't really look too fatigued, which is odd, I guess. But they also, a lot of them hadn't played for 2 weeks because they were all rested for the FA Cup. So maybe they were still getting back to it, which is why they were a bit off the races, it sounded like they were yesterday.
Yeah, I have to say, if you go on the website now, you'll see Marcus's 5 conclusions article, which includes the brilliant line of give that man a tequila because Dale Gorman loves a shot. that's fantastic. I have to say, we like that one. But I mean, I'll go into some questions because we've had quite a lot of questions, which I'm going to let you answer all of because I don't want anything to do with it. But one point is listening to the manager afterwards. He was saying it's not enough. We can't feel that it's enough to play well and not win. But then he was talking in positive terms. I think his first words to you, Sheridan, were, I thought we were excellent. So is there a bit of a contradiction there? Him saying we're excellent, but we can't play well and not win? Is that
Possibly, but in his defence, my sort of opening question was, that was a good performance from your side, you know, saying that they're top of the league. It's that horrible thing, isn't it? We're Yeovil Town, we're a big side in this division. But the reality is Grimsby have 7,000 fans there. They're on a cracking run. They've got new owners that's brought a real bounce. It was always going to be really tough for us. And so perhaps you go in thinking you're going to get some sort of defeat. And it wasn't as bad as we thought. And potentially we could have nicked a point, probably should have nicked a point. I think that would have been a fair result in the fact that we had a lot of the possession. We just didn't create those chances. So I know what you mean in terms of the contradiction. But those players, they looked devastated when they conceded the second. It was quite something. And I tweeted this afterwards. Lewis Simpa, who'd only just come on, and it's his second appearance for Yeovil Town, he was really rallying the troops after the 90th minute goal that they scored. And I thought that was really, really interesting, because clearly there's a camaraderie there. There's a team spirit in that side. So he's got to get the balance that, of course, you know, he wants to make them into winners, but he doesn't want to take them out down too much. I think sometimes you have to manage certain personalities. Personalities react better to hairdryer treatment. Some personalities don't react too well to that. So it's a fine balance. It was a good performance, and I was pleased with the endeavour, the hard work, the pressing that we tried to create. We just didn't have that quality. So I think it potentially is going to be a different line of questioning on Tuesday, depending on the result against a side that we probably need to get 3 points from in Woking on Tuesday. But I think the way I opened my question probably opened him into that kind of contradiction.
Yeah. He said about giving Matt Worthington a big cuddle, didn't he, after the game? So I could just imagine that. But yeah, I mean, we've been talking, Ian in particular has been talking on here about the need for that kind of attack, an Ed Upson type is what Ian talks about. And Marcus, I don't know if you think of Matt Worthington, we spoke at the beginning of the season about how this was a really big season for him. Obviously, he didn't start it well, getting sent off in that first game. But, you know, he scored on Tuesday night. Sounded like he did all right yesterday at Grimsby. I mean, I'm not saying is he Ed Upson, but could he be that kind of a player? Or is maybe Lewis Simper, is he that kind of a player for us?
It was tough because I noticed we almost sort of reverted back to the diamond actually yesterday with Gorman at the base and then Barnett and Worthington left and right with Sonny in the number 10 and then Wakefield and Quigley up top. And we don't have that, as you say, that ups and that sort of playmaker attacking type midfielder. Worthington and Gorman, they're both like incredibly energetic, and Gorman he's got some lovely technique from a dead ball situation, but whether he can pick out those passes necessarily, and we don't have anyone looking forward making those passes. There was a lot of, I mean, the Grimsby fans behind us in sort of the 70th minute were every time Staunton or Gorman hit it long to Quigley, were going, oh, another hoof. And it's sort of, if other teams are noticing this, then it just, yeah, we didn't. I do think we're missing, because last season, obviously, and the season before, we had Diaf, Skendi and Jimmy Smith, who were all more attacking-minded midfielders. We've got Sonny, who I still don't really know if he's a midfielder or a forward, but we want someone making those late runs into the box, picking passes out, and I think that's really what's missing from the side at the moment. And whether Darren Sol will look to recruit in that area, we'll see, because we're not too heavy on central midfielders, it's got to be said at the moment.
Yeah. Well, this actually brings into a question that we've got from Hugh, which is, what do people think is the main reason for the lack of goals? Is it a lack of creativity of chances, poor finishing, the wrong overall tactics, something else? What's the one thing you change as a priority to try and increase our scoring? Go on, Sheridan. Oh, sorry, Marcus. You can go first if you want.
I was going to say, I don't think you can blame it on a lack of finishing if they don't have any chances to finish, really, because Quigley, he worked really hard. He was quite deep in our half at times, winning tackles, and he played well in that sense, but that's not really what you want your striker to do. And I think he was doing that to get involved in the game because he wasn't getting any touches where he wanted them. I personally think it's that lack of, or maybe they don't know how they're supposed to be creating chances. I think we just need to get anything, crosses into the box, passes to the edge of the box, and just see what happens. But there was nothing yesterday, absolutely nothing.
So I think that's a good point, particularly on crosses. As good as Charlie Wakefield has been going up front, I think then you miss that width when he's on the wing. I think that's been so effective in the games that we've won this season, particularly Stockport. Him being out wide was really causing them all sorts of problems. And we were able to break down Grimsby's defence. And I think if we had a little bit more width, and with Jordan Barnett now being able to come forward, he loves that position coming forward on the left, perhaps then be able to get creative a bit more chances wise. And I think it's crucial that Ben Seymour is available for Tuesday, because I think, as Marcus says, I think he's more of a clear-cut striker than, say, Sonny. And Adi Youssef really needs to get his fitness up, because clearly he's a good finisher as well. So I think Charlie Wakefield has done exceptionally well at centre forward, but I would prefer to see him on the wing, creating those chances, getting those good crosses in. He's a great crosser of the ball, and also he can shoot from that area as well. We've seen that a couple of times. And Jordan Barnett then probably has that freedom if he's got another winger on the other side as well. And I think there's another point on our attacking play. We said we had a lot of set pieces. I think we really need to get other players chipping in on goals. Max Hunt, 6'7". He's got to get his head onto more of those balls inside the box. He's been fantastic at centre half, but, you know, Terry Skiverton must be pulling his hair out, you know, getting in those good positions, not heading the ball home, because there's good crosses coming in, both from Gorman and from Barnett, and even from Simper when he came on yesterday on that left-hand side. We've got to add that to our game, because we're forcing the set piece. And if we can't create those clear-cut chances in the box, get a set piece, but we've got to make more of it. So that's what I think we need to do going forward.
Definitely looks like Jordan Barnett's been tearing his hair out, hasn't he? Where's that all gone?
he was loving it yesterday, actually. He was scrapping with all the Grimsby players, and he was getting a bit of stick off the crowd, but he's a nutter. He's an absolute nutter.
I was told on radio, so I'm repeating this again. He didn't tell me confidentially that he had a bad haircut, so he had to get rid of it.
Right, okay. Yeah, he certainly got rid of it, that's for sure. Yeah, I thought he was trying to match Josh Staunton or something. It's interesting what you both say about Quigley, because we've got another question from Mitchell Clark. He's saying, does he need a break? Because I think he started every game, I think, maybe. I can't think of too many that he's missed. Mitchell asked, does the top end need a reshuffle because of the lack of goals? And what would you do? I mean, you've both mentioned that we've already got, you know, you've got Youssef on the bench. I chuckle because last game I saw was Boreham Wood, and just at the risk of getting a bit Miley Cyrus about it, the wrecking ball of Adi Youssef just come flying in on that massive centre half of Boreham Wood was, I did put my head in my hands with that one. But then Seymour as well. I mean, he was missing. What was the reason? He said it was a COVID thing, but he hasn't got COVID.
He hasn't got COVID. So one of his family members, I think, must have tested positive. So he had to take a PCR test. It came back far too late. And Darren said that it was just not worth him travelling all that way. He wouldn't have been ready for a match, and maybe not even got here in time. But he will be available for selection on Tuesday, because I think it was clear, you know, there's a player in there in Ben for sure. And one of the, it's every striker, isn't it? Once you get a goal, you can go on a little bit of a run. And I think he's a proper centre forward, which is exactly what we need. Quigley, I mean, you cannot fault his work, right? He didn't look tired, but maybe just, you know, mentally missing that penalty. It might have been worth him taking that fifth penalty on Tuesday just to get that confidence back, because that must have really, really hurt him. But, you know, he gave Jordan Barnett a rest out of nowhere, and fans weren't happy. And actually, I think that might have done Barnett some good. So maybe it would be worth, you know, dropping Quigley to the bench, bringing in Seymour or Youssef, just for a little bit something different going forward, because he does get quite a lot of stick from centre-halves, Joe Quigley. They do very much put two on him. He's a big striker, isn't he? We know he's way more than that. But sometimes it's hard for him to get forward and get free from the defenders. So, you know, with all these games, it's not as if, you know, you're dropping him for a bad performance, you're dropping him to give him a rest. And I wouldn't be against that at all.
Yeah, I'd take him out. I don't really see what there is to lose. We've scored two in our last six league games. So it's not like we're changing a winning formula. He started the season really well in the first sort of four games, but since then hasn't scored or chipped in. He's our only sort of, you'd say, physical. Well, I guess we've got Yusuf as well, but one who's been in form.
He's definitely physical, Yusuf.
I don't really see what we've got to lose from taking him out. It's not like we're suddenly not going to score, because that's been what's happening. Just try something different, and if it works, that's brilliant.
I mean, one of the other games I saw earlier in the season was Aldershot, when obviously he scored twice, and I know one of those was a penalty, but it seemed there, I mean, we talked, haven't we, or the manager's talked about head on a stick and all of this, and he's more than that, but it seemed we were playing the ball into his feet, particularly at Aldershot. I remember a couple of times he like burst down the like the left wing, and you're looking thinking, is that Quigley bursting down the left wing? But he'd get the ball at his feet and he'd run with it, and he's got decent technique, isn't he, for a, you know, for a big guy. But we just don't seem to do it. And you mentioned there, Marcus, about how a couple of people are talking about hoofing the ball up to Quigley again. I mean, has that changed? Is it the way we're playing to him that's changed a bit as well?
I think it was more the players, they were trying to create stuff like on the floor, but then it just wasn't, they weren't having any luck. So I think they eventually sort of resorted to just hoofing it long, which, as we know, just doesn't really, it's never really worked for us. No. I think we need, as Sheridan said, we need that more width. Because Quigley, as you say, is really good with his feet. But he also is really good in the air, attacking the ball, not sort of flicking it on as much, but winning a header to score rather than flicking onto someone. So if we just, I'd go back to just a 4-4-2 with Knowles, Wakefield. That's what worked for us so well when we beat Stockport and Aldershot and Halifax. We were just playing a simple 4-4-2, and it was working fine. And I don't know whether you give Yusuf a start, because last time that happened was Boreham Wood, I think, and that didn't go so well. But he is one of those players who can just bundle in a scrappy goal, Yusuf, and I think that may be something that we're missing.
I think he made a real difference when he came on against Weymouth. He obviously won that last minute penalty, not so much yesterday, but he wasn't on very long, so you know, it's hard to judge with that amount of time, whereas he obviously had the full 30 or plus minutes of extra time at Weymouth, and I think he did make a difference, and he is one of the more experienced players. I did notice, you don't always see, but we were very close to the dugout yesterday, and he's very much a leader. He was always there waiting, we weren't sure when he was going to come on, because he was shouting instructions, he was talking to the players when it went out for a throw-in. So from that respect as well, I know there's lots of talk about it, but it is a young side, that's the reality. I think they need someone like that, been there, done it, able to help them along, and probably Joe Quigley as well. I think Joe Quigley, you know, alongside a more experienced striker, will help as well. Strikers go through this; they go through periods of scoring and not. And I'm not disappointed with his performances at all. As Marcus said, he worked incredibly hard. So you really don't want to criticise. I just think perhaps he might need a rest, and then bring him on alongside Yusuf on Tuesday and see how that partnership works.
Yeah, you mentioned there about substitutes, and that goes on to another question from the excellently named, I'll get this right, Lord Snappy Baron of Somerset, whoever that is, but fantastic. Nice. Yeah, fantastic name. And he says, why do we never make changes until the last seconds? Now, I looked up when the changes came yesterday. So Yusuf came off for Quigley on 70 minutes, Knowles on for Sonny on 76, and Simper on for Barnett on 84. Now, 20 minutes to go. I mean, maybe that's, I'd have thought for a player like Adi Yusuf, 20 minutes is enough to do something. I mean, do we think the manager makes the changes too late generally? I don't know, Marcus, you think?
Yeah, this is something we were saying on commentary quite a bit, because at half time, it was clear we weren't creating anything, like just nothing was happening. And we had Knowles, Simper and Yusuf on the bench, all, I mean, we haven't seen much of Simper, but from what we've heard and what the brief little we have seen, he is that sort of creative midfield player. And Sonny, it just wasn't his game. We've seen this quite a bit this season. Weymouth on Tuesday, obviously I wasn't there, but everyone said he was really good.
He was outstanding.
Mm. Yeah, but he was completely anonymous yesterday. And you could tell at half time that it just wasn't going to happen for him. And so I thought, you should just bring him off. It just wasn't working for him. Why not? And I thought that, yeah, the first change, I thought it was later than that, to be honest, because I didn't realise Youssef was on for 20 minutes, because he really didn't do a huge amount until the last sort of 5 minutes. And it was an odd first change, because the problem wasn't with the striker. They couldn't really get involved in the game much. It was what was going on deeper than that. So I thought Knowles or Simper probably would have been more effective, both of whom actually were quite lively when they came on late on. But it was just too late. And we were saying, even in sort of the 60th minute, like, Darren Soule needs to change something. And it was, for me, it was Sonny who was coming on, because he was, unfortunately, just a passenger in that game.
What was the difference between Tuesday night and yesterday at Grimsby with Sonny? Because as you say, listening to you and Lawson on the commentary, you were all talking about how well he played. And I remember seeing him up at Stockport and thinking he had a good game up there as well. But then I've seen him in other games where he has just been completely anonymous. I mean, what was the difference in...
I think that Grimsby, they're a big side. Yeah. They're a very strong side. They don't let you have the ball very much. Whereas with Weymouth and even Stockport, Sonny was able to run at players. He was able to do his 1-2s, his trickery. I mean, he's a technically fantastic footballer. I just don't think he got that opportunity. I think particularly in the first half, we were a bit overrun in midfield. And, you know, Sonny was getting frustrated that he was being pushed off the ball a little bit too much. I don't know if you would bring him off at half-time. I think that's slightly harsh. We saw Charlie Wakefield come off at half-time a couple of weeks ago, and actually it didn't really change anything. I think you've got to give them that opportunity after the half-time talk to try and impose themselves on the game. But that was it. Sonny wasn't able to impose himself on the game, and that's potentially credit to the opposition. Whereas against Weymouth, I just thought he dictated play, he took more of a leadership role, which I have to say, I think I said to you on commentary, Marcus, that he was talking a lot more to his teammates. He was very much more vocal. So he is improving as a player, as a man. It's just potentially not always going to work, particularly against the league leaders. And I just don't think he was able to showcase exactly what he can do. And, you know, probably tiredness as well. He hasn't had the continuation of the few games that potentially, say, Barnett has. You know, you're just working through. Sonny was brought back in for that Weymouth game, then played, over 90 minutes. So I don't know. I think he might start on Tuesday, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. We just didn't see the best of him yesterday.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he had an amazing game against Woking, to be honest. It's the sort of thing where it's just some games aren't for him. And it was interesting in Darren Soule's post-match, he said to you, Sheridan, that Sonny was, he was quite harsh on him, actually. The harshest he's been on him. He said he really wasn't good at all. And I thought it was strange that if he was sort of aware of that and thought he was playing poorly, he waited until the 76th minute to make a change. And I wonder if our, just thinking back to previous seasons, if Darren Soule's sort of system doesn't suit that type of tricky attacking midfielder, because we had Matt Warburton last season, who was sort of, he was not the biggest, but technically brilliant. We've seen him do it at Halifax this season, but he just didn't work for us at all. Whereas someone like Albie Skendy playing there, because he was bigger, it's not like he's going to get pushed off the ball in that position. It's a hard position to play in a league like the National League. And I think you do need a bit more of a physical presence if you're going to play an attacking midfielder or just play three midfielders and one a bit sort of deeper but more creative.
It was a very physical game, wasn't it? I mean, they're a physical side, we're a physical side. Although no booking until the 86th minute.
I noticed that,
remarkable.
Should we be complaining that we didn't get enough bookings in? Are they being too soft now?
I don't know how Barnett got away with it. He pushed the same player right in front of the ref and about really? 2 minutes after each other. Yeah. I don't know how he got away with it, but I love Jordan Barnett. He's a proper fan's favourite, I think. You just want to see that aggression, tackles, and just, he's a bit of a nutcase, to be honest, which is what you love to see.
We love a nutcase, don't we? Yeah. But I mean, talking about Sonny, he's obviously 19 years old, which is, again, something that we probably forget. I've got a question here from our now deposed quiz champion, Clevo. I had to get that in there, yeah. Asking to the two of you, and me as well, I guess, what do we make of Darren Gordon's post-match comments that we were the better side. In particular, the quote on it being a young team, he says, worries him because these are players that he's brought in, as in Darren Sahle's brought in. He appreciates that we're working on a low budget, though. I mean, that's a point that we've made a couple of times before, is I don't really buy this argument of everybody wanted a younger team. I know last season there was some, you know, talking about some of the older players and how they were past it and all the rest of it. But I really don't think that was the majority of people who thought that. And really, I think the reason we've got a young team is because we don't have the money. We don't have the money to bring in those experienced heads. So we have had to bring in. And I mean, it's not a unfamiliar territory for Yeovil Town, buying in young players that have been bombed out of, you know, league clubs and players that have got injury records. We've done that for a long time, haven't we? Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. I mean, Clevo ends his question by saying, talking about young players reminds me of another Darren whose surname I won't mention, but we could probably all guess. So, I mean, do you think there's...
Darren Betchett, is that?
Yeah, I think that's who he's talking about. Yeah. He was always at it, wasn't he, Darren Betchett? But, I mean, what do you think? Is that a reason, an excuse, young players?
I don't like the comparison between our two managers, because when I watch this team, I see a hardworking team that are together, that are behind the manager. The amount of games I watched under our previous manager, where none of them were bothered, none of them wanted to play for Yeovil Town. You know, Lewis Simper on loan from Cambridge came on rallying the troops, real big part of it. He's had COVID, he's had an injury, yet he's still staying around wanting to get his football under his belt. I think there's a real difference. I agree that I don't think anyone was particularly asking for a young team. I would like a team that's successful, that's hardworking, that wins games. But I will say that I like the young players that Darren's brought in. I like watching Sonny when he's at his best. I really enjoyed watching him on Tuesday. Jordan Barnett, you know, 22 years old, and as he says, got bite, he's got aggression, but he's also got talent and he's got a good ball on him. Joe Quigley, proving everyone wrong, notwithstanding the conversation we've had about him. I still think he's a good striker for us. Max Hunt, young defender, has improved. You know, he was brought out of the team last season, but he's got his spot. And I think he's probably one of the first names on the team sheet now. So possibly sometimes used an excuse, but I've always thought that this team was potentially mid-table, but there's always that one team that makes the playoffs and hopefully it will be us. That's how I've always seen this side since we've seen the signings that have come in. And it is true, those three players that we're missing, Reuben Reid, Luke Wilkinson and Mark Little, will be crucial. So I'm really excited to see them back. But I don't think the comparison with our previous manager is fair. I think there is clearly a budget issue, but I think he's brought players that, you know, Marcus has already said fans' favourite for a couple of them. That's great. We need to get results. We're on a bad run. What I will say is also under Darren Sahle, and also it's kind of a Yeovil thing to go on these runs of losses, defeats, and then go on a winning run. So hopefully we're on the cusp of a winning run, but it has always been, particularly in recent years, a bit of a trend for Yeovil to go on these runs which worry you and put you under pressure, and then hopefully you get back to winning ways. But you know, Tuesday's huge for these young players and for the club as a whole.
I do love that Darren Way is kind of like Voldemort. He's like he who must not be named, isn't he? So yeah, don't say his name, otherwise he might appear. But I mean, that takes me on to another question, which was actually something that the manager had said in his pre-match before the Grimsby game, talking about there being too much expectation on this young side. So there's a question from Mike Hudson that says, can you unravel the too much expectation comment in light of the chairman who talked about promotion being the only aim at the, that was in the summer, wasn't it? Obviously, haven't heard from the chairman since then. And the same manager was also talking about playoffs in midweek, which was, I think, an interview we did with another podcast. So Mike asks, surely you can't have it both ways. I mean, what do you think, Marcus? Do you think there's too much expectation on them?
I think what Darren Sahle meant when he said that is on this side, as in the current players he has available, because obviously all the players who are injured are experienced players, whether that's a coincidence or not, I don't know. But I think in the beginning of the season, signing sort of Mark Little, having Wilkinson and Ruben Reed as well, who I know you're not sold on, Dave, but we...
hasn't been mentioned for so many weeks.
Sorry. Well, because he's been absent.
Ruben Reed.
That's it. You're not welcome back. You throw me under the bus there.
But I think everyone was sort of... I don't think anyone expected playoffs at the beginning of the season. Everyone was expecting mid-table, but it would have been amazing to sneak
except
into the playoffs.
Except Ben. Ben was expecting more.
I think I predicted about 11th or something with the possibility of sneaking into the playoffs with a decent run. But I don't think there's too much expectation because, I mean, no wins in 8 games now, is it?
Yeah.
Including the obviously FA Cup after 90 minutes. But I don't think that's expecting too much because it's a half-decent side. Like, obviously, he's had to recruit young. But as you said, the young players he has recruited, they're all individually actually quite decent recruitments, like Barnett, Knowles and Hunt were at the beginning of that period where I think he wanted to recruit younger after we couldn't buy a win last season. The recruit, Wakefield as well, they're decent, good individual players. It's just not working. And I personally don't think just wanting a win against an Altrincham team with a keeper in goal or
a left back in
Maiden.
Goal. Back in goal.
Maiden,
yeah. If they had a keeper in goal, that would be great. Yeah.
or Maidenhead, that 0-0 game. I personally don't think that is expecting too much. And I think we should probably expect a win on Tuesday, given the results. I think we need a win, and there are going to have to be questions asked if we don't get that win, because we're on a terrible, terrible run of form, particularly attacking-wise. We haven't got battered by any team. Like, even when we played poorly against Notts County, it was only 2-0. I think that's our biggest loss this season, 2-0. We haven't lost by more than that, really. Defensively, we're all right, but it's just we cannot score to save our life. It'll be interesting to see Tuesday.
What do you think, Sheridan? Do you think there is too much expectation?
I don't know. I like to think everyone was the same. I think we all felt mid-table and hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
But I think everything that we're speaking about all stems from the unrest elsewhere. And I've said this many times that I feel really sorry for Darren having to face everything. He should be able to just talk about the football, but he's there at matches when there's unrest, not at the performances so much. Obviously, the results at home haven't been good enough and that needs to change. But I think all the unrest is with at the top and there's nothing coming from the top. So I think we're seeing an improvement in this young side. They're much more exciting to watch. I think if you'd watched a game like yesterday at Huish Park, people would have said, you know, we gave it a really good go, played some nice passing football, really should have had a goal. Whereas, you know, I think the Maidenhead game probably was the worst. It was just such a drab game. Whereas we haven't really seen that in recent games. I mean, the Weymouth one, I think, brought everyone back together with the excitement. I think, you know, everyone's just frustrated at the club as a whole rather than just the results on the pitch, and it just all comes together, doesn't it, and erupts. I don't think expectation is too high. I understand that Darren needs to protect his players, but you know, I've spoken to a lot of the players and they've definitely got their head screwed on. I was so impressed with Sonny Blue's interview afterwards. Obviously he was completely buzzing, but also, he just spoke really well. He knows that he hasn't always performed. And he said, I know when I've had a good game and I know when I haven't. Speaking to Jordan Barnett yesterday and Tom Knowles, he's, I think, lacking confidence for sure. If we get him backfiring, that'll excite the crowd. That'll, you know, get results. He scored so many winners for us last season. Need to get him backfiring. And that's an important moment for Darren to manage him properly, because this is the first time, particularly in a Yeovil shirt, that he's not been in the form that he would like. And I spoke to him briefly yesterday and I can just tell that he's wanting so much to perform better for this team. And so I hope that comes for him soon.
Yeah, and stewards can rest easy if Tom Knowles gets back on form, can't they? Don't have to watch their baba. I want to get on to talking, obviously, people will be listening to this Monday, hopefully, and we've got a game the next day. But there's just one more question that I want to ask Marcus, which is from Mark M. Green. It says, Marcus, what carriage are you in on the train, and do you want a Cronenberg? So the question is, did you get a Cronenberg or not?
I didn't. I actually fell asleep on the train, unfortunately. Because I knew my King's Cross was the last stop, so there was no risk.
You couldn't sleep through and end up in like Calais or something.
No, yeah. I bumped into Mike Cleverley and Mark, yeah, in Doncaster. I got off the train from Cleethorpes and heard some Yeovil chants, so I had to get involved. And we had a 4-minute. They were going on the same train as me. We had a 4-minute changeover. And I said, oh, where are you going? They said, London way. I was like, oh, okay, we're getting the same train. Do you know where it is? And they were like, yeah, it's down here.
So we were never follow Mike Cleverley onto a train, never.
Parading through Doncaster Station. He was like, yeah, it's platform eight. And then he checked his phone. He was like, oh, no, it's platform one. And then we had like 2 minutes. And no, we made the train, so that was all right. But yeah, gutted I didn't get that Cronenberg, though.
There you go. Well, he owes you a Cronenberg.
Yeah. Then, I'll get it at Solihull.
Absolutely, yeah. Right, well, yeah, I mean, looking ahead to Woking.
Not again, I can't cope with that.
No more Weymouth. That's enough of Weymouth. That's enough of them for now. But Ben obviously can't be with us today, but he did inject some positivity through his social media. So here's a few Beamore Barrett positive stats. So 16 sides in the league, including each below us, have conceded more goals than us. Woking have lost 3 on the spin, including going out of the FA Cup to Horsham. Yeovil have beaten Woking on each of the last 3 times at home, aggregate score 9-2. And Ben has watched each of our last 2 wins, and he's there on Tuesday night. So, I mean, we can take a bit of positivity out of that then, maybe. I mean, we've spoken about what needs to change. I mean, what can we do differently? Is it really just... I mean,
score a goal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those defensive statistics look really good. And Chris, whose name I won't try and pronounce because I'll probably get it wrong, he does the green and white goals. He made a point that we've played each, I think, the top 7. What did he say? He said, we've already played each of the top 4 and 8 of the top 10. I don't get that. But then Ben says, I think it's actually the top 7, although Kingsley and Oldshot Maidenhead being the 3 games we've played who aren't in the top 10. So I don't really understand. That's confused me.
Yeah,
but we've played a lot of teams that are at the top, I think, is what he's saying there. I mean, Woking, 3 defeats on the bounce. Yeah, can we get in something there, do you think? They wouldn't be in feeling too positive.
I think so. And thank you, Ben, for doing all my commentary pre-work with all those stats.
I know, yeah, I'll send them across to you. Yeah.
So that's great. No, I think it's a great opportunity. It's back at home. We've got to nail down that home form. I know we've lost a couple on the bounce away as well, but that home form's got to change if we're going to be where we want to be, and that's mid-table, potentially pushing. And yeah, 3 defeats on the road. They went out of the FA Cup. There are going to have to be. I'd be very, I mean, I said this before, Grimsby, so what did I know? But I would have thought there's got to be changes then ahead of a tough away match at Solihull. And I think with Tom Knowles as he is, I would start him. And I actually think maybe we need to, as you say, think about that 4-4-2. He is playing slightly different role this season, and maybe we just need to get him more forward, get him on the ball, get him running at players and trying to shoot, because he has a little bit more of a success rate than Dale Gorman. So
I think I had a little bit more of a success rate than Dale Gorman, yeah.
I would love to see him starting again, because I think he's crucial to us turning the form around. As I say, I think it is 6 games obviously in the league without winning, which of course is a worry. We didn't win for 10 games at the beginning of last season, which, you know, was worrying for all of us, and then we went on a great run, so I hope that we can do that again. And yeah, I think he's got to change up the strikers. I really hope we see Ben Seymour straight in, because I think give him 90 minutes, show us what you can do. And I think he's got to say to him, you know, you've got to just go for it. Try and run at players. Just enjoy the fact that you're playing men's football. He's not played a lot at Exeter. And that's what I hope that we see. And I hope we see a decent enough atmosphere. I know the attendances, particularly on a Tuesday night, have been tough, but getting behind them, we saw how much that crowd at Weymouth really spurred them on. And it's amazing that makes such a difference. We have the best fans, so.
Do you know what? I can't wait for Dale Gorman to score an absolute worldie on Tuesday. If Dale Gorman scores a long shot, it's tequila on me.
Right, that down. Tequila's on Marcus.
I'll hand deliver one to Gorman himself if he scores a long shot on Tuesday. But just going back to the atmosphere thing, Sheridan, yesterday it was quite sad, actually, because Grimsby, it was an amazing... It was absolutely packed. All you could hear was how good their new owners were. They were so happy with change. It felt really, really similar to the Bromley game in Darren Searle's first season in charge, where it was Scott's first game in charge, I think, when everyone was obviously really happy that there was a change. Now that's aged well, but there was an amazing atmosphere that day, I remember, and it felt really similar. We'd just come down, we were doing well in the league, and it was hard to see because there was food everywhere, there was a lively atmosphere, and it's like that's what a club should be like. And so, yeah, hopefully we don't need to talk about these issues for much longer. I'm praying, but it's going to be tough to create a good atmosphere as well when there's obviously stuff going on in the background and that threat of no goals, no threat at all into their box. It's hard for the fans to get really up for that. And I think it'd be really interesting to see what the reaction to this run, this winless run, would have been like without those two Weymouth games in the middle, because I think they've actually really helped to get something up because everyone was up for them. And if we just had a league game instead that we didn't win, I think there'll be a lot more anger. And I know there's a lot already, but yeah, we desperately need a win on Tuesday.
And I think that's, you know, going back to a point I made earlier, is that their fans have seen that these players, they care. They are really buying in to this. The reaction that they had with the fans, and we saw it at Aldershot as well. There were lovely scenes there. That is still there. And, you know, we can speak about a young team all we want, but, you know, people are starting to really enjoy watching those 11 that take to the field, and their heart and their desire just got to get those results now. And they know that they're footballers. They don't like losing. Mm-hmm. As Darren said, not okay to lose. But I think there is a progression there. And I think you're right. Those Weymouth games were so, so important, particularly how we drew the first one. But it just gives you what could happen. You know, that 1,000 in the away end was quite something. And Hewish Park can be a horrible place for opposition to come. And that atmosphere can be created. We know it. Darren knows it more than anyone, and he'll be desperate to get that back. So, if we can get a convincing win, maybe. Oh, do you know what? I don't care. A scrappy 1-0 win.
Yeah.
That'll be fine by us.
And he talked, didn't he, the manager, after the game about coming out all guns blazing on Tuesday night. I mean, that's surely got to be what it is, isn't it? All guns blazing. I mean, what have we got to lose? Apart from the game, maybe. But
yeah. weirdly, I know we conceded two yesterday, but defensively we were sound because the circumstances of the goals. I don't think there's much to worry about defensively unless suddenly we're playing two at the back or something ridiculous. But
that would be quite a change, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hey, it might work. So yeah. Why not? But I just go all out. I think it's a similar thing happened last season when we couldn't really get the win and couldn't really score goals. And we played four attackers and everyone was like, what is going on here? And I think it did sort of work with like Knowles and Quigley and Reed, and we just need to go for it. Anything to get some goals. I'd love to see us scoring three goals. Like, it would be amazing, but I genuinely can't see where they're coming from.
3 40-yarders from Dale Gorman.
And then three bottles of tequila.
Exactly, yeah. It cost you a fortune, that, yeah. Right, fantastic. Well, That's probably as much as we've got time for today. But thank you both of you for joining us. We'll be back on Friday when hopefully we'll be talking about Marcus off to buy a job lot of tequila for Dale Gorman and then go and find him to deliver it. But yeah, thanks very much for your time, guys. And yeah, we'll speak to everybody else towards the end of the week. Thanks very much.
Cheers, thank Dave. You. Cheers.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.